We have jumped forward several generations again, and we are now in the story of Moses, except not at the beginning and not really in the middle. We are through 10 plagues, and the people are on their way out of Egypt when we find ourselves in this passage today. This is not all the verses. There's enough here that if we read all the verses, you get distracted and we spent an hour and 5 minutes in Sunday school and we didn't touch a third of it. So listen to the story as it's presented today. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the minds of Pharaoh and his officials were changed towards the people. And they said, "What have we done, letting Israel leave our service?" So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 elite chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the same thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone so that we can serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, our next hymn is number 5, God the Sculptor of the Mountains.
Thank you.
may be seated. Our second lesson picks up just a couple verses later. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. The morning watch, the Lord, in the pillar of fire and cloud, looked down on the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into a panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the whole entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a passage that we normally read as part of a much larger narrative and story. And so we often don't slow down to read the passage. This is part of Moses of the basket case thrown into the waters, Moses of the burning bush, Moses of the 10 plagues, Moses of the manna in the wilderness, Moses of the 10 commandments, Moses of the dies just before he gets to the promised land. This is Moses, the prophet by which all other prophets are measured. And so perhaps we can be excused for skipping this one little part and thinking that it only occurs the way Charlton Heston acts it out. However, there is much more to this text. As I said earlier, we chewed on this a lot in Sunday school, and we didn't get through it. We had more. We could do more. We left out the passages that gave us fits in Sunday school about God hardening Pharaoh's hearts and God hardening the hearts of the Egyptians. And what does that mean? And how does that work? And what does that say about God? And guess what? We're not going to cover them now either. Talked about the challenge of death and destruction of the enemy in Scripture and what that means for us as the people of God. And how do we deal with that today? And what does it mean that such a tragedy is kept in Scripture? And guess what? We're not going to deal with that either. We're going to pick up just on two little words that happen in this passage and happen in several other passages in Scripture that give us fits. Keep still. How many of us are good at that? How many of us would rather be doing something, anything, rather than keeping still? Having ridden in the truck with Dan all the way down to New Orleans, I happen to know that if there's a blockage on the interstate, he will get off and go on the side roads because he would rather be driving than keeping still on the interstate. And he's not alone, I think, in that among us. And so it is that we have this odd passage. It's full of stuff. Often we skip it going from point A to point B. It's only important because it gets us from Egypt to the wilderness, except that it's more than that. The people at this point are following Moses. They're not really following God. They're following Moses. Moses is the one who has done the 10 plagues. Moses is the one who has gone into Pharaoh. And now Moses is the one who has led them out. And there's actually a little bit that we skipped here when the people cry out to the Lord. The Lord says to Moses, "Why are they talking to me? You're in charge here. Do this thing with your hand. Raise it up and divide the waters." Moses has a crowd of panicked people. So remember that when they leave Egypt, they leave with gold and silver, they leave with livestock, but they also leave basically with everything they have and everything they are. So they are moving with everything they have. They are being pursued by an army. And now they are up against this body of water. Much of this story happens overnight, which I had not remembered until reading, preparing for today. And it's at dawn that the waters part. But that means that all night they've been sitting there wondering and waiting, worrying, how far away are the Egyptians? Are they going to get here? What is Moses going to actually do? There is no way I'm going in that water in the middle of the night, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God gives Moses directions, and Moses gives the people of God directions, and they're not really very helpful as far as I'm concerned. Do not be afraid, stand firm. See the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Very true. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. I betcha there is a crowd of folks over there looking for other ways, looking for shallows across the Red Sea, wondering if we just say, we'll go back to Egypt, will they take us? Because we don't know how to keep still. We just don't know how to keep still, says the preacher as he paces back and forth in front of the congregation. And I think that's part of this passage, is that the people have not been able to keep still in Egypt. They have been slaves. They've worked every day, all day. They have not been able to keep still. They have not been able to rest. We're not particularly good at resting ourselves. There is a reason why we're commanded to rest. There's a reason why we don't keep that one real well. There's also this piece that we've talked about before in this congregation that sometimes we want to rush God. God has said, I will do this thing. And we turn into Abraham and Sarah and go, well, you haven't done it yet. So let's figure out how to make this happen for you, God. And then God comes back and says, that's not what I meant. That's not how I was going to do it. So we're still going to do it my way. And then the story continues. Keeping still is not something we're great at. We don't like Advent. We don't want to wait to sing Christmas carols. They have been on the radio since, well, probably next week, to be honest. We don't want to wait for anything. And part of it is, yes, we're impatient, and 15 seconds is too long to respond to a text and all of those things. But part of it is deeper in our DNA. We can't blame it on the internet or technology or cell phones or anything like that. We have been fidgety people for a long time. We have a hard time trusting. Imagine that you're part of the people of Israel here, backed up against the Red Sea, and Moses says, it'll be fine. Just sit there. God will handle it. Who's this God you talk about, Moses? Remember, Moses asked that very question of God at the burning bush. When the people say, who has sent me? What am I to say? And there they are. Keep still. Just hang on a little bit longer. Just wait. Maybe you'll understand when you're older. You know, all of those great things we say that are really, really unsatisfying. Keep still. How well do we do that? Jean can't keep still. She's going to start cleaning. How many of us are really good at keeping still? This entry, this narrative is a huge part of the story of Exodus. It is the bridge from Egypt to wilderness and then eventually to promised land. But more than that, it is the people of God having to learn that they are the people of God. Up until this point in the narrative, it's been about God and this one individual or this one family. I mean, last week was Joseph, and the week before that, we had Abraham, and in between, we had Isaac and Jacob. This week, we have Moses. Something has to change. And this passage is where it changes, begins to start changing. They're following Moses, and Moses is saying, just wait and see what God will do. It tells us that the people didn't know the Lord. The passage tells us that. Scripture tells us that. And so what are they going to do? The first thing is they're going to be reminded, as one of my commentaries said this last week, that the number one criteria for being an ancient Near Eastern god is the ability to control the water and the chaos. If you can't do that, you're not worth much. Ask Florida. So God prepares to part the sea, to make a way out where there was no way, to do it on some other god's soil, not forgetting that Pharaoh was a god in his own mind and a god in the mind of his people. That's how God is going to introduce God's self to the people of Israel. It's a pretty dramatic entrance. It fits the character of the rest of the story. So what's going to happen here is that when death is certain and inevitable, new life is going to happen in an impossible way. Here, the waters are going to move out of the way. There, the stone is going to move out of the way. Here, they're going to be told to keep still. There will be a day of silence on Holy Saturday, a day of waiting. This story points at everything that is going to come after it and also reminds us that perhaps the first thing we have to do is that thing we're lousy at. Jesus asks us to do it in the New Testament. Cast your troubles upon me. About 5 minutes later, Jesus, that's too much for you. You can't handle that. Let me take that from you. Is to slow down and let God be God. It is really, honestly, the first step in faith is to trust that God is going to do what God can do when God says God is going to do it. And it's really hard, because we know there's this way we could do it and make it happen. We know we could get there on our own. We know we're pretty sure we could make it happen ourselves. And that first step of faith is to believe that we don't have to. That God can and will do it and be active. And this challenge is for us to sit on our hands. If you've ever worked with a small child on anything, you have probably had to fight the urge to let me just do it. Otherwise, it's going to take an hour and a half to do a 3-minute task. Let me just do it. We have to fight that urge with God as well. Let us just do it. Partly because we won't do it incredibly well. We know that history of ourselves. And partly because we are not God. This introduction to God, imagine this. This introduction to God is not just salvation. It's not just deliverance from slavery. It's not just being sent out towards a new land. It's not just freedom. It is also rest. it is also a chance to just rest. We are not good at keeping still. And yet, time after time, Scripture tells us to slow down. Be still and know that I am God. Hear the still small voice in the windstorm. Hear a child born in Bethlehem. Take one day out of every seven and make it the Lord's and keep it holy. Our introduction to God as the power in the world and in our lives asks us first to believe that we are not the power in the world or the power in our lives, and to set that down. Moses will have to be the one raising his hand, and the people of God will get to see the power of God made real. Are we willing some days to just watch? To just watch and be amazed by what God is doing around us. Not through us, just near us, sometimes to us. Are we willing to watch, to keep still, and observe the power of God at play? Dan Kingery tells this story about his time in Africa, that we always had to stop the truck outside a village because if you got out your food to eat, everybody would want some. And yet there were some kids playing near this truck and they had leftovers and it wasn't going to be good for another day. And so they gave food to the children, none of whom started to eat immediately. They went and gathered their friends and they ate together. Now, if Dan had said, just eat it, just eat it, just, he would have missed the glory of the story, the power of God through what others are able to make happen. Are we willing to keep still long enough to let God be God, to let God part the waters, to let God deliver us, for us to be reminded again of the majesty of God? To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.